you have all continued to carry on his wonderful legacy. So again, my name is Mary Toko. For those of you who don't know me, I am an independent vaccine researcher for over 40 years. I am an international speaker on several topics. The first and primary one that I spoke about was the dangers of the childhood vaccinations. You see, for over 30 years, I have been exposing the hidden, flawed truth about vaccinations. And I've spoken all over the country, done probably hundreds of radio shows, podcasts, Zoom calls, you name it, because I believe that children are our most precious commodity, and we must protect them. And so many well-intended, loving parents just do not have an idea of what they are doing when they take their little babies in for vaccinations. They really believe they're doing the right thing, only to find out maybe down the road when their children are sick or regress into autism, or when they happen to catch a program by myself or other people, that they made a tough decision that has set their children up for failure, for autism, learning problems, asthma. You know it. You've been listening to Ingrid for a long time talk about these things. By the way, I've known Ingrid for probably every bit of 30 years. We've talked dozens and dozens of times on the phone because we have a lot of common interests, but I have never yet to meet her face to face. I think one of these days, if we don't do it here, we'll end up meeting in heaven somewhere, but I would love to meet with Ingrid face to face and just have a coffee. You see, she is a trooper. She's been out there for a long time, like her mother was, Waylon James. And so we're both generals in the army fighting for the truth. And we are soldiers, and we are always honored to get the ear of people, whether it be people that know about us or people that are learning about us. So tonight, as I stated, I am going to be hosting her program. I'm very, very excited about this. I have a guest lined up. You know, one of the things that I think we all can agree on is that we have just gone through probably the worst 2 to 3 years this country has ever known. I myself dreaded that this time was going to come during my lifetime, and it's here. We have all watched the world go stir crazy. We have all heard about the terrible things that have been going on out there. But I have to say, the left would like us to stop. The media would like us to stop talking about it. The cabal would like us to stop talking about it. No matter how mundane it gets, folks, we cannot stop talking about the tragedies and the lives that were affected by the terrible COVID shutdown program. And I hope I can say it on air right now without getting censored, because I've been censored everywhere. My website, by the way, is childhoodshots.com. My name again is Mary Toko, and you can also go to marytoko.com and find me. I have a wonderful 6-part DVD series called Vaccinations, Risk, Responsibility, and Rights, based on about 38 years of my research. That's available by download or by DVD. I also have a book that I authored about the amazing power of our immune system. And if you don't understand how incredible the immune system is, you will never have the faith or the guts to say no to vaccinations and also the push for all the pharmaceuticals. And I always like to say that, you know, I'm not anti-medicine. I am grateful that we have really good doctors out there in emergency crisis care. I am grateful that we have doctors who can start up a heart or help a person after a stroke or put bones back into place. I actually have no problem with that type of medicine. But what we have going on out there in the pediatric world and in the COVID hospital world is not the same. It is a different animal completely. So before I introduce my guest, I did want to talk briefly about one of Ingrid Cassell's programs coming up on the 24th. She is going to have an incredible man, a father, who's grieving the loss of his daughter. Her name is Grace Shera. She died after being put in the hospital. She was ill during the lockdown. And she died when, I don't know if it was accidental or if it just happened, but she was given a heavy dose of medication that literally put her into severe hypoxia. And they considered it a lethal dose. And Grace died as her family stood by and could do absolutely nothing. They were not allowed in the hospital. They were doing everything that they could to talk to them via, you know, the phone calls that they make. Bottom line is that the doctor in charge of Grace put a do not resuscitate on her folder because Grace had Down syndrome. And for whatever reason, he said, do not resuscitate. This was not the parents' wishes. She was a wonderful, vivacious, incredibly beautiful part of their family and their community. And they lost her because of medical malpractice and what we believe is medical greed. And so be sure to tune in on the 24th, where Ingrid is going to be interviewing her father, who is now suing the hospital. You won't want to miss out on this. I know that there's a GoFundMe for her. Many, many months ago, I became aware of it, and I gave something to it. I really believe in the cause. I believe that all of this is coming out now, folks. We're starting to find out all of the terrible, terrible things that took place in these hospitals. And we're learning about the money that they were paid. I'm very concerned about organ harvesting. And so tonight we're going to talk with a gentleman who, by the grace of God and by his determination, he ended up in the hospital during that period of time as well. Only his story didn't end up in death. His story is a story of victory. And so I want to encourage everybody, first of all, don't stop talking about these important topics. We must continue the conversation. At the same time, I want you to know that there are some silver linings to this whole thing. I believe there's a great awakening taking place. Because of this gentleman I'm going to introduce, his name is Paul Schwartz. He has literally gotten me in front of probably somewhere between 8,000 and 10,000 people in the Mennonite Amish communities last year. So, Paul, I'm grateful to you because my purpose and my goal is to reach people, sound the alarm, and help them make an informed decision about their health care. And that includes not only the vaccines, but about how to take care of their children. So with that, Paul, I know you're there. I would like to welcome you to the program.
Well, thank you, Mary. And I just wanted to say that I'm honored to be able to share my story. And like Mary, you said, everybody has a story, but not everybody gets a chance to tell it. But I was basically in a motel room like about 4 hours from my house, and I got sick, so I just thought I'd stay over for a day and it'll all go away, and it didn't. And then the next day, well, I figured sure I'd be good by tomorrow, and then tomorrow I was even sicker. And then by Wednesday, I didn't go out. I just stayed in my motel room thinking it's going to be better, it's just going to pass. But by Wednesday afternoon, I realized that it's not going to go away, so I made an appointment with my local doctor. And basically what happened is that I made an appointment for a walk-in at 10 o'clock, which was their first opening that they had. And this was in 2021, in May of 2021. And so when I walked into the hospital, the first thing they asked me is, have you been tested for COVID? And I said, no, I've not been tested for COVID simply because I'm not here for that. I'm here because I have a sore throat and I can't swallow. And I hadn't eaten in those couple days. And so they took me in the back, and the nurse practitioner came in. And then she just firmly asked me, well, have you been vaccinated? And I go, no, I've not been vaccinated, in a firm voice. And I said, that's not why I'm here. I am sick. I can't swallow. And I need medical care. And so she just said, well, you know, open your mouth, and looked in a little bit and said, there's nothing wrong with you. Just go home and take Tylenol. And then she left the room storming because I blew her off about the vaccination. And then she came back in and says, oh, I better check you. And then she checked me again and said, nah, I can't see nothing wrong. Just go home. And the next day, the whole side of my face was swollen. And the very rare bacterial infection, which I had, I went to the nose and throat specialist, and he said that it's more likely for people to win the lottery than to get this very rare bacterial infection that I had. And
sorry to interrupt you, but I want to go back a little bit. So this was in your hometown. Was this like Lancaster, Pennsylvania?
Yes, Leola.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So this was your hometown. I assume mm-hmm. that people knew who you were. So you had this terrible, terrible sore throat. You were having difficult swallowing. You couldn't eat. You were very weak. You present right. yourself. And because you didn't take the PCR test, did you notice like an attitude right away because you said, no, I'm not here for that?
Well, the tone of my voice, I said it before because I was very anti-vax. And yes, right. I did pick up that right away. That's exactly why she wanted to blow me off, you know.
Right. So then when you told her you hadn't taken the vax, she really didn't do a thorough exam, did she?
No.
She just looked in your throat and said, hey, go home. And what did she say?
Take Tylenol, you know. Yeah.
Right. So just go home. Get out of my face, pretty much.
Yeah.
You're not compliant. You're not doing what we tell you to do. And you'll be just fine. By the way, folks.
Right.
Since you mentioned Tylenol, I have to tell you, on my website, I have a document, a scientific study on the dangers of Tylenol because it contains acetaminophen. And acetaminophen is a very dangerous, dangerous drug that's outlawed in many countries around the world. And currently, and again, I'm digressing because this is something I have to let people know, there is a class action lawsuit out there for people to join if you gave your children Tylenol because your doctor told you to, whatever, whenever, if they were given Tylenol and your child regressed into autism or other problems, there's a class action lawsuit that you may qualify for. This is good news because for years and years, I've been sounding the alarm about the dangers of Tylenol. And finally, we have a law firm that is willing to stick out their neck and take it forward. So you go home and Paul, did you try anything at home natural? I know that you're very much into natural health care. Maybe gargling with salt water or silver spray. How did you proceed from there?
Well, with the next morning, my whole side of my face was swelled up. I immediately went to the ear, nose, and throat specialist because I wasn't going to go back to that doctor. And he immediately basically rushed me to the hospital.
So he knew something serious was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And they immediately started operating on me and
what did they operate on specifically, because I know it was your throat area that was causing all the trouble.
It was the infection that was in my throat.
So they kind of went in to drain it somehow?
Yes.
Relieve
mm-hmm.
it? Okay.
Right.
Okay. And that happened the first day you got there.
Right. And
go ahead.
Then what happened is they couldn't operate fast enough. So right away, once they got done with that operation, I had to come up right with another one, and then another one, and then they seen it was out of control where they could not manage it in the local hospital. So they airlifted me into the larger city called Philadelphia.
And Paul, I'm assuming that they probably had antibiotics going in you. They probably were draining things. They were trying everything they could to get it under control, but it was beyond that, wasn't it?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, at one time I had like 12 IVs going inside of me at the same time.
Wow. And can you imagine his family, folks? They just think he's got a sore throat or a little, maybe a throat infection or tonsil infection, and all of a sudden there, you know, his wife was like, oh, my gosh, I'm sure she was like, he's now being airlifted out. And you have two children, right, Paul?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. So now you're no longer around home. you're being airlifted out to which hospital in Pittsburgh?
Pennsylvania.
Okay, Philadelphia.
Yes.
So you go in there. You've already had a couple surgeries. You're not doing well. What did they? How did they treat you from that point forward?
Well, basically, from that point in time, they sedated me in Lancaster, and they never let me get conscious for 30 days.
So unconscious.
All those operations, yeah,
wow.
I was sedated. I was fully sedated, yes, and never even gained conscious for like 30 days.
Wow. Isn't that something? Now think about this, folks. One day he's okay. He's out on the road working. Before you know it, he's airlifted and he's unconscious for 30 days in a hospital. And the reason I say that is because we all have to be ready for when a crisis like this hits us. And really, I think the bigger message in today's interview is, are you ready with the Lord? Are you right with God? Because we never know when a crisis is going to hit. And as I've gotten to know Paul, I've gotten to see that, number one, he believes that he's alive today and able to walk and talk today because God wants him to share his story. And so you're there, you're sedated for 30 days. Is it because you were so infected? I know that pictures of you in the book that you put together, he put his story together. His wife and his daughter visited him and kept a very, very good log of everything that was going on. And I will also say, Paul, you told me that every day they tested you for the COVID and gave you tests, and you never once tested positive, right?
That is correct. And they put me right next to the COVID patients in Philadelphia, and the nurse came out of my room and went over to the COVID patients row, and she came back from there into my room those whole 60 days that I was there.
Isn't that something? And, you know, they imply that the hospital is the most sterile place on earth. And this is something that I've always been talking about for years and years, that the hospitals are a place of super germs and the most dangerous illnesses are there, right? But anyway, we are going to take a short station break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our interview with Mr. Paul Schwartz, talking about how I believe God spared his life.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask. just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point. And through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
And I'm glad to be filling in for Ingrid Cassell. It's always great to be back on RBN. And right now we have been interviewing Mr. Paul Schwartz, who survived 60 days on a ventilator. And we're talking about his ordeal and how he ended up in that condition. Some of it was medical mismanagement, and yet at the same time, he is grateful to be alive. So there, you know, we agree there is a time and a place for medicine and medical interventions. But his story is interesting because as I got to know Paul and we talked about it in great depth, he felt like he was battling the devil for his life. He is a fighter. And so I don't know about you. I can't imagine being, first of all, completely sedated for 30 days on a ventilator, totally unconscious, just there. And then another 30 days. So, Paul, let's pick up where you left off. You were saying that basically that, you know, you were transferred to the airlifted to the hospital. They kept you sedated the whole time and you were completely sedated. When you woke up, what condition was your body in?
Basically, I was in a condition where they never knew if I'm going to get my memory back. With the ventilator down my throat, I couldn't talk, and they never knew if I was ever going to be able to talk with all the operations, and they never knew if I was ever going to be able to swallow, if I was ever going to be able to eat again, and nor did they ever know or think that I was ever going to be able to walk.
Let alone breathe on your own, right?
Right.
You know, your body wanted to breathe on its own. As you stated, they would not allow you. They would not allow you to get off of that ventilator, even when you were beginning to come out of it. I know at one point during our discussion, you said that your body swelled up with fluids. You were so puffy. There's pictures of his hands in the book that he produced. His hands are like puffed up, swollen hands. I mean, severe swollen hands. And that basically his whole body was swelling up with fluids. And you said you had 12 different IVs, or were they draining ports to get fluids out of your system?
These were inbound, that drip IV that were going in inside of me. And, of course, I had draining too. But it was basically I bloated up like roadkill.
Yes, you did.
And my wife sent a picture to my daughter, and she said, well, it looks like he has a pillow underneath there. And she goes, that's not funny, because this is real. And when she yelled at the doctors, they basically drained the fluid so fast that it actually ended up doing nerve damage to my eyes. And also I had a flopping foot and some of these things, but then they just didn't drain it slow. They just drained it really fast. And that gave me some side effects of that.
And keep in mind that, first of all, not breathing on your own for 30 days, 60 days is pretty tragic. But you were not being bathed. I remember you told me that when your wife did come in to visit you, because she could, because he wasn't diagnosed with COVID, they could not stop her from coming. And she and her daughter visited almost every day.
Every day,
Every day, right. And they took photos and they documented everything, which is so wise. To have that type of patient advocate there is just amazing. But she said that he smelled so bad, the infection was so bad and rank that she had to put essential oils in her mask just to be able to be near him in the room. So can you imagine being in that state, folks, hooked up to a ventilator, swollen up like a fish on the side of the road, right? Everything swollen, full of fluids. And at the same time, the doctors, they literally cause nerve damage because they drained the fluids so quickly. Wow. Do you think it's because they don't see this that often, Paul? Or do you think they just didn't take the time?
Yeah, they would have not drained it unless my wife would have yelled at it. And again, I was worth more dead than alive. And I just got to say that, that the devil is like a terrorist. And
yes,
he has no boundaries.
That's right. Paul, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a real short break here. We're going to come back. And then we're going to talk about the incentive to not have you live, but to see you die. Hold on, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Well, welcome back. Mary Toko here. I'm hosting, for those of you who might be just joining me, hosting tonight in place of Ingrid Cassell, who needed the night off. My guest is Paul Schwartz, and we've been talking about his ordeal being in the hospital during the COVID shutdown and just everything that he's observed and everything that he went through. We're just now talking about how he was going through the recovery process. Paul, can you maybe start talking about when you started to wake up? First, were you in pain? Did you have a lot of suffering and pain while you were on that ventilator?
I didn't know I was in pain because I was totally numb. I looked down at my feet and looked down at the rest of my body, and I had no consciousness that it was even attached. I could feel no attachment to my body, my feet and everything to my body. There was a total they were not attached. I couldn't feel any connections. And that's how numb I was.
That's amazing. Now, did you ever have any fear come over you? Were you afraid? Did you think that perhaps you were in the process of dying? If you can just describe to us what you were going through mentally and emotionally while you were in that state.
Well, yes, because the first thing I remember was when I gained consciousness that the nurses wasn't aware of it because there was two nurses standing right outside my door. I couldn't see them, but I could hear them talking to each other. And the one said, "I really feel bad because we just bring these people in here and we spiral them down into the ground, into the lead, and we just have to stand here and watch them die. And I just really feel guilty, you know, and I just really feel sad." And it just was a rude awakening to me because then right away I wanted to do like therapy or something to try to gain some strength back because I couldn't move my arms, I couldn't move my legs, I couldn't do anything because I was that weak. And so they brought in a nurse that would show me how to help me with therapy, and he said that the hospital will only allow me to do this one time and show you how, then you got to do it on your own. And basically, since I was totally incapable of even moving, I couldn't do it on my own, but my family, when they were in to visit me, they would help me to move my arms and move my feet and try to put pressure against it and try to get some kind of strength back and some kind of movement back. But it's strange to me why if the hospital wants you to get better, why wouldn't they allow to give me therapy and try to get my strength back?
You know, I would really, really love to look at your the bills to your insurance company. Am I assuming you have medical insurance to cover all of this?
Yes, I was very fortunate over that because it was well over millions of dollars, you know. So,
wow.
So
they made they made millions of dollars off of you laying in that hospital for 60 days,
right?
Longer than 60 days. And yet,
and yet
they can't afford to bring someone in and do physical therapy with you daily to help you recover. They only right. have the time and the patience to show you one time, and then it's up to you to do the work. Wow.
Right, and they weren't allowed to, you know. It just was, you know. This was while I was in intensive care, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so you're intensive care, and this is what they say, you know, do it if you can. You're on your own. You know, it just amazes me that nurses and doctors could continue to work under those conditions, knowing that they really were perhaps causing harm to people and not really able to help them. And yet I know a lot of nurses and doctors go into the field of medicine because they want to help. They want to be part of the solution. They want to see people get well. And what I think is happening, Paul, is thousands of them are waking up to the fact that the medical system is not always about getting you better. A lot of times it's about the bottom line, how much revenue the hospital can make off of you based on your insurance. It would have been so interesting to know if you didn't have insurance, how they would have treated you differently. You know, would they have, you know, given you antibiotics and a couple injections and done your surgeries and sent you home and said, you know, you don't have insurance. Sorry, there's nothing we can do for you. You wonder how they would,
you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That probably would have happened, right? And, of course, we don't know the outcome of that because I'm assuming, we're all assuming that everything that they were doing for you while you were on that ventilator was to help you recover and get better. But let me ask you, Paul, do you really think that was what was going on there?
Under the COVID thing, like I said, it turned the whole industry into like a terrorist. And my daughter, my daughter was like about 7 months pregnant, and we called her Dr. Doom. Came in and told her that you might as well take him off the ventilator because he will not make it. He's not going to make it. You might as well just take him off the ventilator and let him die. And my daughter was devastated. And, of course, they didn't do that. But then right after that, my heart stopped. And basically they resuscitated me back. But in that time, I had a vision. And it had to do with 9/11, and basically, the merit of the dream was, or the vision was, that in 9/11/2001, basically the enemy struck the Twin Towers, and basically people knew that there was an attack on America, and people repented, the churches filled up, and the people start praying, and they feared God. And 2 decades later, he showed me that the enemy strikes again with COVID, and they saw what I saw in the hospital, that people feared the devil, and the people divided, and churches divided, and people that were in Bible groups for over 40 years, they couldn't agree on it, and they divided. And so it was a total 180 just in 2 generations. And I'm just saying, wake up, America.
So you had, whoops, hold on. Am I there? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you had a vision while you were laying in that bed, and the Lord was basically showing you the difference between 9/11 and the current times we were in.
Yes.
And I do remember. I do remember 9/11. A lot of people, gosh, it was scary because we've never had anything like this happen in our country. And, you know, I mean, I have my own ideas about it. I believe it was an inside job. Nonetheless, it was the devil. And people did start seeking the Lord. And there was a lot of turning back, a lot of patriotism. And but this was different, wasn't it? It was dividing churches.
Yes.
I know I was very upset with my church because my church shut down and did the mask thing and did the social distancing thing. And even one time from the pulpit said, let's just all get the vaccine so we're better. And I'll tell you, it took me everything to go back to that church. It took a long time before I was willing to do it. And I go back for other reasons, but because I love the word that they preach and I love the worship. But my point is, it is divisionary, and the families, it's divided. Oh, my gosh, the families. I have friends whose grown children, against mother and father's wishes, took the shot in college. It's causing so much division. And so in the medical field, I think what it's done is it's brought out the ugliest of the ugly. It brought out their greed. And so now, you know, I have a COVID report on my website, which is childhoodshots.com. And on that report, by the way, it's a downloadable. It's 60 pages. It's not a perfect book. It's a document I threw together with the most recent pictures of what they're finding. It's all about the masks and about a lot of it. But anyway, in that report, I actually have a woman by the name of A.J. DePriest with the Tennessee Liberty of Network uncovered the enormous COVID bribes to all the schools and hospitals from the CDC and the Health and Human Services Department. And it says here she references the National Institute of Health protocol on the CDC website. For hospitals and schools who agree to the CDC conditions, they get compensated hundreds of thousands of dollars and even millions for following the CDC medical protocols for treatment in the hospitals. Hospitals must implement the CDC COVID treatment that include the remdesivir IV treatments. The brand name, by the way, was called Veklury, and the use of ventilators, even though they knew that they were harmful, they weren't fixing the problem, and they weren't helping people. They also had to agree not to use ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, which are two drugs that we are now seeing and have known for years and years that are very effective in treating this and avoiding death. And they must also agree to isolate those who are sick and also follow the guidelines, isolate them from their family members. I think, Paul, that if you would have tested once positive with that test kit, they might have kept you in there forever. You might not have made it out. What do you think?
That's not a thinking. That's a knowing, because I do believe that the nurses were on my side, because I got my family to bring in like a CD set of the Bible, and I knew I was being tested. So the only thing I wanted to listen to was Job. And by doing that, it was a witness to a lot of the believers in there, the nurses and things, that I was a believer, and it opened up the conversation. And so as the doctor was making his rounds, basically the nurse came running in there, and he said, Paul, the paperwork just came through, and you get to go to rehab. And then the doctor goes, who said that? And then he backed up and he came at me again and put both hands on my feet and just knocking on my feet and saying, Paul, the paperwork came through and you get to go to rehab. And the doctor looked at him and he says, we'll see about that. And he goes storming out the door, and I was scheduled to go to rehab. The ambulance was already on the way. And an hour before the ambulance got there, he diagnosed me with blood poisoning and basically stopped that and called my wife. And that was the only day I didn't have a visitor, because she thought I was going to be transferred over to rehab. And basically they stopped it, and she yelled at him and threatened him with a lawsuit. And she really yelled at him. And then finally they released me back to my hometown. And basically they took off the ventilator there, and immediately I could breathe on my own, which they told me down in the other hospital that they're not going to be able to take me off the ventilator, because the trach is the same thing as the ventilator, and all you have to do is just turn it on low, and lo and behold, I found out that if you turn your ventilator down on low, you can never, your lungs will shut down, and you can't breathe on your own, and you'll be on the oxygen for the rest of your life. So they just wanted to turn the ventilator down on low and destroy my life so I never get back in society.
It's hard to believe, it's hard to fathom that these people are really out there in the hospitals doing this type of thing. So for those of you who don't, who, you know, Paul, you referenced Job in the Bible. If you could just give a quick summary of why you related to Job in the Bible, of all the Bible stories, you really focused on Job while you were recovering. Can you please tell the audience why you picked Job?
Yeah, Job was the only book I listened to the whole time, and that's all I did. And Pete, they came in, turned the TV on like 7-8 times a day, and every time I said, no, I just want to listen to Job, simply because I knew that Job said, I went into my trial knowing about God, and I came out my trial knowing God. And that's what I wanted for myself, because I knew that the devil basically and Jehovah had a conversation, and God trusted Job that he would be able to pass the test, and he gave permission to the devil to test him but not to take his life. So the whole time I was in there, I said, talking to the devil, says, you can test me, but you don't have the keys to life and death. And I just kept confessing that over and over, and just speaking. I couldn't talk, but in my own strength, I just kept confessing that you cannot take my life because you do not have the keys to life and death. And I do believe that was one of the strong points that helped me to survive.
Yes, I imagine the Lord was watching your tenacity to stick to that word of God and to put it right back in Satan's face. You know, folks, this is a spiritual warfare. We are in a spiritual war. And when more and more of us learn to entrust our lives to our heavenly creator, and we learn to trust even our breath to him, it's empowering. It's empowering. It removes all fear. And so, you know, when Paul and I were talking about this, I thought, now in my mind, before I asked him, I thought he would be talking with God, you know, and I'm sure you might have done some talking with God. But when he said, no, I was speaking against the devil. My conversation was against the devil, telling him, you don't have power and authority over my life. You don't have the keys to life and death. And just as Job was tested, you can test me all you want, but you cannot take my life unless God ordains it. And that's correct. A power we have as Christians. And I don't think people understand the power and the authority that we have in this spiritual warfare that we are fighting day in and day out. I think the more people wake up, I don't care, you know, what religion you say you're from. I believe that we have one God and we have one Savior, bottom line. And so it doesn't matter your background or, you know, whether you're Jewish or Islamic or, you know, Catholic or Protestant or Baptist, whatever. We have one God that we serve, and he gave us his son to take away our sin. And that's really what this is about, folks. We're going to take a short station break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay tuned.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania 15091. That's the Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to the Freedom Times today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Well, this is Mary Togo, and I am back with my guest, Paul Schwartz. And, you know, timing is a funny thing. As I was saying before the break, we must always be prepared. We never know when our time is come. And literally, just now on the break, folks, I got a text message from a family member that one of my daughter-in-law's sister's husband was just killed today by a Mack truck, and this just came in. So my point is we just always have to be prepared. We never know. Of course, I don't know what to say right now. I just found out 2 seconds ago that he passed away. I just saw him last week, but I just pray to God that he knew the Lord. That's all I can say. And Paul, you know, your story is really encouraging, because it just goes to show that we have to trust God in all things in our life, right? So
yes.
You can carry on about the story of Job. Reiterate.
And I also knew that Moses basically was in the desert, and when the burning bush, it says, take off my sandals because you stand on holy ground. And I took the authority that Moses had. He didn't demand it from God, because God gave him the authority and God was with him. He demanded it from Pharaoh, let my people go. And so I stood on that I was, I knew God was with me, but I also knew that I had to demand from the devil to let my life live. And you know, and that he's not going to have the authority to take my life before my time. So a lot of people think it's basically when you demand things that you're demanding from God, because God has already given it to us. He has made us in his image. We have the authority. We need to demand it from the devil to let my people go, because he's the one that has the thief. He's the one that's a terrorist. He's the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And basically, he has no boundaries unless we set boundaries for him, you know. So
Absolutely.
Where I came from, you know.
The good news is that when we're in Christ, God gives us the authority to demand that the devil get behind us, stay away from us.
Yes.
And that's really what we need to do, is we need to use that daily in our lives. And I know that that is one place where a lot of the modern churches are failing miserably, because they don't talk about the spiritual battle. They talk about it, but they don't tell us how to battle it. They don't give us the tools with which to battle it. And the tools with which to battle it is the authority that God has given us through the blood of Jesus Christ, where we tell the devil, get behind me and back off and leave me alone in the name of Jesus. And so that's the authority that we have. I guess we're going to be taking another short break here in a couple of minutes. So, Paul, let's just start talking. You get into it. You're now going home to rehab. How did you get home?
Basically, it was 30 days in rehab. And
okay, but 30 days.
But,
30 days.
Yeah. And,
okay. Hold that thought, Paul.
But,
we're going to take a break. We're going to talk about how you got to rehab, though. You didn't go in a car, okay? So we'll be back in just a moment, folks.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.